Okay, to First Thessalonians 3:8. For now I live if you stand fast in the Lord. It happens every day. Sometimes, as we look at the statistics of our church, some of these people are referred to as backdoor slashers. There are people out there in the world, that world which provides ample temptation, who for some reason, or perhaps apathetically, for no reason, have fallen from the faith. Somewhere, I think that temptation-filled world, there's a man with pure white hair who wandered his way to his position as an executive in one of the largest corporations of our nation. He was given there in his Cadillac limousine this morning. Anyone years ago, a young graduate of a prestigious New England University, whom God had amazingly turned around, granted him repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his many gifts, he began rather soon to assume a leadership role in the church, active in evangelism, active in Bible study groups of the church, very regular in his worship, reception of the sacraments, growing daily in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But then one Sunday I noticed that he was missing in church, which was some years later. Then he missed another Sunday and another. I went over to his home, and he said very categorically that he realized that his Christian faith was interfering with his success. But he decided to take the way of success rather than the way of Christ. As I left his home that day, I left with his words ringing in my ears and in my heart, as they ring there even today, as he said, "Pastor, I have to live, don't I?" He cast that with the words of our text. For now I live if we stand fast in the Lord. Our text beautifully describes the passionate concern that the Apostle Paul had for his dear friend, especially in Asia. He had gone to Europe early in his career to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to that continent, not merely to present them with a new philosophical point of view, nor to educate them in order to improve their standard of living. He went there with the good news of Jesus Christ, because without it, they were members of the walking, the living dead. St. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "As for you, you were dead in trespasses and sins." And this has been true almost from the beginning of time. Man who fled from God in his will, self fulfilled in his own experience the truth of the warning of God, "In the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." Man ate of the forbidden fruit. He died spiritually, and the seeds of death were sown that day, which one day shall touch each of our lives as well. Man today finds himself in the far country as the prodigal son, the land where God is not honored. Famine is upon him. The husks of the world do not have the power to satisfy him. He needs nothing more than the ability to return to the Father's house. The time. The time. In the secular world, our Lord Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and announced, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me." To a world that had lost its way, He declared that there is a way back from the far country to the Father's home. It is by me, he said. How could he make that claim? Because one day he was to walk up a hill called Calvary. One day he would be spiked without pity to cross. One day he would suffer and bleed and die for the sins of every man on earth, for every member of the living dead who would ever take breath. He would on the third day rise again and say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Said what? That impelled by the power of Christ's death and resurrection, St. Paul went everywhere, not only in Philippi, but everywhere, saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see then why the concern of the apostle is then. The thing one's back on Christ is not to reject a prophet or a philosopher, but to turn one's back on life and to choose death, eternal death, in its stead. And Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has cast a spell upon you that seeing you may not see, and hearing you might not hear? St. Paul is not unaware of the source of the bewitchment. He put it earlier in our text for today. I was afraid that the tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts might have been in vain. Listen to the words of C.S. Eliot as he described those who have missed the way. And now, relate them not to the pastoral losses of the church, but relate these words to each of us gathered here today. Where is the life we have lost in the living? Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information? Disciples of heaven in 20 centuries bring us farther from God and nearer to the death. Think not, my friend, that the tempter will take a holiday when he comes to the halls of this institution. The corridors and rooms of this sacred place also find his presence. He would call us, we who handle the sacred things of God day by day, he would call us from the faith. Some criticism words haunt us, don't they? How then shall I preach a path to be saved? He called life to count. Lest after preaching to others, I myself might be a pastor. Compare in our text day, now I live when you stand fast in the Lord, in Korea, in the Lord, in the sphere of the Lord. That is how we stand fast. When we take up that word into our hands and read it and study it and meditate upon it, when Christ comes to us in consecrated bread and wine, and give to us his body and his blood to eat and to drink, to sustain us in the faith. When we live in vital connection with him through the blessed privilege of prayer. These blessed means of grace and the blessing of prayer, these are provided for us in order that we might remain steadfast in our faith. So you see, he died for you, my friend. He died for me. He died for each of us who share in the ministry of word and sacrament. We who are not at all excluded from the tempter's power. And we live in the Lord when we live in the means of grace. The children of God, may God enable us to say now, and to say always to the Christ who suffered for us and who lived for us even now. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, never let me fail. I am trusting thee forever and forever. And under the touch of God, which transcends all human understanding, mount God like a sentinel about our hearts and our minds, to faith in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting.